app. It's time to start church. Praise God. Just came up and told me what I had to do today because I wasn't sure. And my app said it's time for Sunday school. So I'm excited about Sunday school this morning. Amen. Praise God. Good to be in the house of the Lord with His people. Amen. Praise God. Whew. Almost had to pull that one out of you this morning. Get it out. We love one another. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Praise God. Good to be in the house of the Lord. And we are going to get right into this lesson because it is basically the majority of the ministry of Paul. And if you know anything about the ministry of Paul, there's a lot to cover. But we're going to at least get it up to the miracle at midnight. The miracle at midnight. Our focus verse this morning is Acts 16:25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. At midnight, anybody ever pray at the midnight hour? Does anybody enjoy praying at 5 a.m., 6 a.m. in the morning? Anybody enjoy getting up early for prayer? Whew. Well, I'm more of a midnight prayer. Yeah. Nothing wrong with getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I think it's good that we start our day, whenever that day may start, as a shift worker. My day could start at noon, or it could start at 2 in the afternoon. It could start at 4:30 in the afternoon. Believe it or not, I have slept in for night shift, if that is possible. Not getting up until 5 p.m. at night. Co-workers, if you're on there, don't be laughing right now. It has happened. You get turned all around. But the point is prayer. No matter when that is, but it just happened to be at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing praises unto God. And we'll get into why they were in the situation they were in. But today, I think, as we go through this, I want you to see something very important. We're talking about miracles. And everybody wants to see miracles. Nobody wants to be the miracle. Right? We want to see cancer healed, but I don't want to be the cancer patient. Right? I want to see blind eyes open, but I don't want to be the blind guy. Right? And so I want you to see the journey that, or the process that takes place to get to that midnight prayer meeting. And I think that's where this lesson is taking us today, along the journey of Paul. All the way to that point, and what happens along the way, and the connections that are made, and the miracles that happen even before we get to this miracle at midnight. Our focus thought today is life often leads to situations we cannot control. However, we can control how we react in those situations. We can control how we act. Well, I just flew off the handle. I don't know what I was thinking. Got a little crazy there. I don't know. We can control ourselves. In a society where we see so many excuses and blaming everyone and everything besides ourselves, it's easy to come up with a reason why we acted a certain way. But they cut me off. They treated me poorly. The service was bad. They made my burger wrong, so I can now have a bad attitude towards the server. No, we can control ourselves. Got any grown-ups in the house? Hopefully, in adult Sunday school, we have some grown-ups. We need to control ourselves no matter what the situation. Is that an easy thing to do? No, it is a challenge. But I thank the Lord that we don't have to do it alone. We have God on our side. Praise God. We have His Spirit living in us, and we can control ourselves. Amen. Amen. A resounding amen this morning. Amen. So in our culture connection, being in or out of control, we are not in control of what happens. Sure, we can make decisions, but regardless of our decisions that we make, we will always be outside influences that affect situations. Things arise. Things come up. Things change unexpectedly. On your way to a big hot dog event, and the tires blow out in the trailer, right? Oh, that brought back some memories, right? Outside of our control. Could we have maybe looked at those tires beforehand and go, well, that one looks like it might go. Let me just go ahead and change all of them out. No, that was outside of your control. Outside of your control. But your response is in your control. The truth in those words are paramount for us to understand. Have you ever been thrust into a situation that you did not see coming? All the time. Have you ever found yourself in the middle of a disagreement that you played no part in? Like, wait a second. How am I in this argument? I just walked here into the situation, and here now all of a sudden all eyes are on me, and I'm supposed to come up with an answer in this discussion, and I don't know how I got here. How did this happen? Happens all the time, more than you think. Have you ever come face to face with a relationship that was falling apart and you were at a loss to know what to do? Somebody comes to you, not even your relationship, somebody comes to you and says, my relationship is falling apart. What do I do? And you don't know the situation. You may not even know them that well. What do you do? How do I interject, or how do I help or counsel in this situation? I don't even know. But these things happen all the time. Every day, if you look at it, you could pick apart any day in your life and find situations that came up that were completely out of your control. How many times have we lost ourselves or lost control of ourselves in those kind of situations? I would say for myself, many. Many times I have not reacted the way that I was supposed to react. I may have acted out of anger or out of bitterness or whatever the situation, highly stressed situations kind of brings out, I hate to say this, but maybe our true nature sometimes, our fleshly true nature. When we get into highly stressful situations, we can spout off things that we didn't even think were in our minds. Thank the Lord for forgiveness. Amen. Praise God in those times. But we can, with God's help, control ourselves through these situations. Life is filled with frustrations. We're going to get over the hump into the good stuff here in just a second. But I want you to see the life that we live and the situations that we come across. Life is filled with frustrations. If it's not just things that are happening in your life, it's things that are happening around you that you have no control over, family members that you wish would be a certain way, but they're not, and they may never, ever be that way. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating, but life is full of frustrations. But even when we are not in control of what's happening around us, we can be in complete control of what is happening within us. Within us. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. This is written on our mirror when it was foggy. Holly wrote this on the mirror. So every time somebody takes a shower in there, the scripture appears magically on our big mirror in the bathroom. Be anxious for nothing. This is in the New King James. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. So what do we need? We need our hearts and our minds guarded. Because an unguarded heart and an unguarded mind will release some things that we don't want to release. We can cause hurt and pain if we are not in control. We need God, the peace of God that passes all understanding, to guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It is amazing how quickly things can happen. Going from a really nice, beautiful day to something that just has gone downhill. It can go quick. It's amazing how quickly situations can turn. One morning it appears all is well, and the day promises no problems. Yet, only hours later, devastating news can come, sending the receiver of the news into a tight spiral of turmoil and confusion. Anybody depressed yet with this lesson? We're fixing to get over the hump here. It's coming. Sounds like life. Exactly. It sounds exactly like life. You like my red mic? Goes with my tie. This is my power tie this morning. All right. So we have turmoil and confusion that can quickly come upon us. Just like the weather can change in an instant. I don't know. I think the saying is pretty similar up here as it is in Nova Scotia. But if you don't like the weather, in 5 minutes, it'll change, right? You live on the coast, that's just kind of how it is. If you live in maybe central, northern, where were we? We were in just north of Atlanta. And without warning, well, there'd be a warning, but it was as it was touching down, there would be a tornado that would come through. Boom. It's like, wow, where did that come from? And like the warnings are going off as it's touching down. How are you going to get away, right? It's like, but it's one of those things. It just happens. It's so quick. You can kind of tell, oh, things are changing. The wind is kind of swirling around here. It's getting kind of ugly. The clouds are getting dark, but you don't know that it's going to happen. And then, boom, it happens and takes out a few buildings, causes a few millions of dollars of damage, and then it's gone, right? And then you're left picking up the pieces. But that's how quickly life can change. Life often leads to situations that are out of our control. We have all been there. I think that's why we can relate to this lesson today. We have all been there. We have all felt the fear and sat stunned and wondering what happens. And what do we do? What do we do? Question for you today. What do we do when those times come? What do we do?
You have some choices.
Right? Immediately reach out to the Lord. Exactly. The best thing. Exactly. I remember Granny sitting in the back seat of Gramps' car, and I don't know if it was just that he was a bad driver. I don't think he was that bad of a driver. But she would sit there and just say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. That was the safest car on the road. Nothing was going to happen to that car because Granny constantly called on the name of Jesus. That was the first thing that would come to her mind. And if a car even came anywhere near us, the Jesus would get louder. We always felt like we were going to get hit from some direction. Praise God. But that is not always our first thought, but it should be. Should be. What else? In these situations, what do we do when times like those come to us?
Tell God how unfair he is. I do this for you,
how come
you're not doing this?
Uh-huh. Try to tell God how it is. That's right. Yeah. What in the world's going on here, God? Right? Exactly. Have I not been faithful? Right? Exactly. Exactly. We make promises. Yeah, I've seen that too. Yeah, I'm gonna, God, if you just get me out of this situation now, I'll be different. I will turn around. Things are going to get better. You're going to see me. I'm going to be an amazing Christian if you get me out of this bad situation. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Anybody ever rode in? Making up words this morning. Anybody ever been in a tugboat? The only tugboat I've ever been in is a sad, sorry excuse for a tugboat, but what's his name, Holly? Theodore in Halifax Harbor from the little children's videos. Theodore Tugboat. They actually have a Theodore Tugboat, and that's the only one I've ever been on. I don't think it ever does any tugboating, but it was pretty cool. It's an actual tugboat. It's just done up with eyes. Weird. But it's a little character. It's a tugboat. But they are built to withstand so much. And in the story, there's a tugboat coming down the river. And of course, tugboats in the rivers. I haven't been in a tugboat in the river. But down south, that's what they use to barge all that stuff up and down the rivers, right? And so you've got to know the river. You've got to know the currents. You've got to know your loads. You've got to know what your tugboat is capable of doing. In the story, the tugboat captain has to release some of his load to go under a bridge. Well, I guess it's going on its own. He's going to catch it on the other side. Well, in the process, loses sight of the current. The current grabs the tugboat, hits the side of the bridge, and sinks. Isn't that exciting? Woo! And it happens in an instant. I can tell you when the ship out in the inlet got stuck between ice and the platform leg. It went down in an instant. It went down in an instant. Everybody got off of that boat. Praise God. But that boat went down quick. And so this boat hits the bridge and sinks. And to everybody's amazement, pops up on the other side of the bridge. Upright. Upright. And why would a tugboat come up out of the water upright? Because of the ballast. Every one of those tugboats have got cement and weights, ballasts in the bottom. And so when they come out of a bad situation, whether it be hitting the side of the bridge in this horrible situation, or whether they are almost capsized by waves, they will come up in the upright position because they have a good, firm foundation. Does that make sense? How do we bounce out of these situations in life? How do we come up always being up? By having a good, firm foundation. Foundation. Amen. Praise God. So important. We forget about that sometimes in our daily lives as we go through and situations come up. And sometimes we wonder, how in the world did we react so positively in this very negative situation? It's because you've invested time in your foundation. I've invested time in word, in prayer, in fellowship. I have invested time and effort into my relationship with God. And then when the seas start to cause turmoil in your life, you can approach it with a smile. The difference between happiness, which is just shown on the outside, and joy, is joy is on the inside. It is joy unspeakable. It cannot be changed by the situations that happen in our lives. Amen. I want joy. I don't want just happiness in my life. I want joy. No matter what I go through, I want joy. Hallelujah. I want to come up in the right position. Come out of a bad situation upside down. That's not healthy for anyone. Amen. Can you imagine being the captain on that little tugboat, white knuckle, look on his face like, what in the world just happened, and pop up? Guess what? He was okay, though, because he held on to what was going to be upright when he came out on the other side. So no matter what situation we go through in life, if we will hold to God's unchanging hand, when we come out on the other side, we will be upright in the right position with Him and with others. So important when we go through bad times in life. that we do not destroy relationships one with another. I've got to get into this lesson. This is so good. Okay. All right. Staying anchored to that hope, fastened to that victory, trusting in his care. That will cause us to resurface and once again enjoy the current as it carries us to our God-given destiny. Praise God. Acts 16 tells us of a miraculous midnight intervention on behalf of Paul and Silas. Though this miracle at midnight involved Paul and Silas, if circumstances had been different, it could have just as well have been Paul and Barnabas. And this is the journey. This is the journey, how things kind of went. And very quickly, I'll go through this. Barnabas had traveled with Paul on his first missionary journey. Barnabas vouched for Paul when the disciples at Jerusalem feared the newly converted Paul in Acts 9, 26, 27. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and faith in Acts 11, 24. Many people came to know the Lord under his ministry, Acts 11, 19 through 24. If you're writing all these down, they'll be recorded. They'll be on Facebook or on the podcast. They were involved in a ministry of relief to believers during a time of great famine in Acts 11, 28 through 30. They returned to Antioch from Jerusalem. Barnabas and Paul brought with them John Mark, whose mother was Mary, held prayer meetings at her home. The relationship between Barnabas and Paul was due not merely to compatible personalities or shared interest. The Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." This was a God thing. This was a God partnership. God called them out to work together. Praise God. And that's in Acts 13, 2. These men were sent forth by the Holy Ghost, Acts 13, 4, and left Antioch on a missionary journey. And there are so many details we're leaving out, but that's okay. We're going through the journey. Although Barnabas and Paul continued to minister together, John's departure was an incident that eventually led to a major fracture in the relationship. Oh my. There could have been major problems with the future ministry of both Paul and Barnabas over the John situation. Help us to have the right spirit in every situation. Every situation. All right. So now, we got Paul and Barnabas. They returned to Antioch. Teachers from Judea arrived to declare it was necessary for Gentile believers to be circumcised to be saved. Oh my. What are we going to do now? We've got an uprising of theological debate now. Paul and Barnabas strongly disagreed and disputed with them because they had seen what God was doing amongst the Gentiles. But you don't know. You haven't seen what we've seen. This is the journey that we've been on. We've seen God move in the life of the Gentiles. The church in Antioch sent Paul and Barnabas along with others to Jerusalem to counsel with other apostles and elders about this new teaching. It wasn't new teaching. This is the uttermost, right? This is the uttermost. Their voices helped provide direction for the church in this critical time. Paul and Barnabas were among those who were given responsibility to deliver the letter to the believers in Antioch explaining this decision. Among those who delivered this letter was Silas, a prophet, who decided along with Paul and Barnabas and others to stay in Antioch for a while. This is found in Acts 15, 22 through 35. After they had been back in Antioch for some time, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." Let's go back through our journey again. And every step of the way, there was something. They dealt with all of these other things, administrative, theological, personality conflicts. They dealt with stuff along their journey. This was not an easy thing for them to do. And when they get the opportunity, hey, let's do it again. Let's go again. That was incredible. Let's go again. Barnabas was willing to go, but he demanded to take John Mark with them, the same person who did not complete the first missionary journey. And Paul rejected this idea. Acts 15, 39 through 41, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailing to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas, departed being recommended by the brethren to go unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Okay, so now, because of a contentious situation. Okay, this was, you know, this was not a, oh, you guys go that way and we'll go this way. It's going to be awesome. No. This was a, I disagree with you. Why don't you go that way and we'll go this way? Could that have been done in the wrong spirit? Could that have been done in such a way that would cause lasting hurt and division in the church? Absolutely. Was it done sharply? Yeah. There are times that things need to be dealt with sharply. Just does. Sometimes there's no other way to get the point across. Right? But it still can be done with the right spirit and with an attitude of forgiveness and love towards one another. Had it not been for the parting of their ways, perhaps this miracle at midnight would have been a different story. Maybe even done to Paul and Barnabas rather than Paul and Silas. But here we have Paul and Silas. After arriving in Philippi, a leading city in the area of Macedonia, Paul and Silas and the rest of their ministry team went on the Sabbath to the riverside where the people customarily prayed. There they met a woman. Anybody know her name? Lydia, the seller of purple. The Lord opened her heart to Paul's words. God lead us to hungry people whose hearts are open to the word. And not just her, but she and her household were baptized. Hallelujah. Then we have the slave girl, possessed of a spirit. This is kind of an irritation deliverance. Because every day, here we got slave girl saying, these guys are sent from God, and they've got a message from God. And let's look at it here at Acts 16, 20 and 21. These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither observe being Romans. That was not the right one. 17, that's where I was looking right there. These men are the servants of the Most High God. That's what I'm trying to get to. Which show unto us the way of salvation. This is a possessed little servant girl. Free advertising. But slightly irritating. They're trying to work here. They're trying to minister. And they're trying to do what God has called them to do. And they're getting followed around. And somebody's shouting at him, these men are the servants of the Most High, which show us the way to salvation. So Paul fixed that. I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And the spirit came out of her right away. Now, immediately, of course, this caused trouble. The girl's owner grabbed Paul and Silas, dragging them before the authorities and saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble the city. Okay? Cast them in jail. Not just in jail, but in the inner jail. Like, these guys are really troublemakers. So we're not going to just put them out in the normal cell. We want them on the inner cell. And this is the cool part of miracles that occur in our lives. We look at that and we go, well, that just got more difficult. How is God going to deliver us out of this more? It would have been easier for God to open the outer gates only. But no, let's pour water on the sacrifice. Let's make it harder so that the miracle is greater. That's how my God works. He works in the greater realm. Hallelujah. He works in the great things. If it's something that's little and man can get the glory for, he's probably going to make things just a little bit more difficult. I don't like to say God likes a challenge because I don't think it's challenging for God. I think God likes glory. God gets glory. And when it's a great big miracle, he gets great big glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so they get put in the inner prison. Let's make this miracle difficult. And so Paul and Silas were in prison. Perhaps they were puzzled by the turn of events. Wow, things were going really good. And God touched Lydia and baptized the whole family. And that's going good. We're getting a foothold here and things are starting to look positive. And God delivered the servant girl. That's a positive thing. That was a miracle in itself. And things are moving forward. Now we're in prison. How quickly things change. How quickly things change. Now, not saying anybody here would do this, but some would be in the questioning mode at this point. But God, you sent us here. We're called by the Holy Ghost to be here. We were sent forth to go and to preach, and we're seeing deliverance, and we're seeing people being delivered from evil spirits, and lives are being changed. And why, God, questioning? Why am I in prison? So easy to take that approach. They may have been puzzled. The things that they were doing were good things. Good things. And they were being punished for doing good things. Has anybody ever felt like you've been punished for doing good things? Try to help somebody out and they turn on you like a rabid dog in the corner and they bite you and they hurt you when you're trying to help them get the thorn out of their paw. Right? It happens all the time. The ones that you spend the most time on, the most effort on, are the ones that turn their back on you and on God and hurt you. Stay upright. Keep your attitude right. Love them anyway. Praise God. Praise God. Keep your witness. Hallelujah. It is important to note that even when we are doing what we feel God wants us to do, things do not always go as smoothly as we hope. In fact, God does not promise that we will never face difficulties. Quite the opposite is true. Jesus told his disciples in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has not guaranteed us peace. Or he has guaranteed us. I've got too many double negatives. He has guaranteed us peace and persecution. Isn't that exciting? Woo! Glory. No one's running the aisles this morning. He has promised us both triumph and tribulation. Wow. Incredible. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the peace that you give. And guess what? Thank you for the persecution that I go through. In the good times and the bad times, I give you praise. I give you praise. Therefore, no matter what we face, whether it is while we are working for the Lord or going about our daily duties, we are going to find ourselves in situations that are not pleasant and are out of our control. The good news, this is where we get over the hump. The good news is we can trust that God will carry us through it all. I have overcome the world. We can, with His help, overcome everything that comes at us with a good attitude and the right spirit. We can do that. Amen. Praise God. But we must decide to trust God. We must decide to trust God. Paul and Silas, even not knowing what their future was, they didn't have any kind of signs or anything that was going to tell them this is exactly what's going to happen. They decided in the inner prison to trust God. Laying aside fear and worry, these two preachers decided to react to the chaos in faith. What do we do? The first thing we should do, cry out to God. Cry out to God and say, God, I don't know what's going on here, but You do, and I trust You in this situation. God, help me to have the right spirit, the right attitude, and get through this. Praise God, and be an overcomer and be victorious in the situation. Amen. And that You would get the glory in everything that happens here. Whether I'm stuck on the side of the road with a flat tire, it doesn't matter. God, You will get glory in all of these situations. You will get glory in every miracle that happens. Every dark place that I have to go through that You've given me victory through, You will get glory in. That needs to be our approach, needs to be our attitude. Praise God. In the midst of their worship service, Acts tells us, Acts 16:26, suddenly, and this is the interesting part, and I'm almost out of time, but this is the interesting part. We talk about suddenly in Scripture. How long did it take for that suddenly to occur? What had they gone through in their ministry journey? If you go back, and that's why we went through every step of the way, through Paul and Barnabas, and the discord and the theological discussions that they were having, and the issue they had with John Mark, and all of those things leading up to, and the salvations, the blessings, the deliverances that they had seen, and the prison cell that they were in led up to this point, led up to this very point. This suddenly. We all want the suddenly thing. We all want to receive the suddenly. We want to experience the suddenly. But we don't necessarily want to experience everything that we have to go through to get to the point where God suddenly does something in our lives. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Praise God, everyone's. Not just Paul and Silas. This was bigger than Paul and Silas. This was bigger than all of the things that they had gone through. I think if we can get the big picture in our mind of what God is really trying to do in our lives and every step of the way, it's bigger than you. It's bigger than me. It's God's kingdom, and He's trying to do a great and mighty work and miraculous things, and to have those sudden things happen in people's lives. But it's bigger than us. We need to have greater vision than just what we're going through at the moment. It's so hard when we get bogged down with just crazy things in life that come at us. The jailer's conversion, realizing this breach in security likely meant death to the jailer, he decided to take matters into his own hands. Well, I have failed, so I guess I'm going to kill myself. Draws a sword. I'd rather kill myself than have somebody else kill me for my failures. That's pride at work right there. Paul cries out to stop him. Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. We haven't gone nowhere. God has released us, but we're still standing right here in the midst of our miracle, waiting and expecting more miraculous things to occur. Standing in the middle of your miracle, watch how God will do more miraculous things around you and use you in the miraculous if you will stand in your miracle. Don't go running off. Praise God. I like the fact that God released them. They could have gone anywhere. They could have ran and hid. They could have gone anywhere. But they stood in the midst of the rubble with their chains on the ground and watched God do even greater things, because it wasn't about Paul and Silas. It was about greater things and God getting more glory. And that was the jailer's conversion. Praise God. Praise God. It was more than just them. Praise God. We get so selfish as Christians. We just want, God bless me, bless me, bless me. Take care of me. Help my hurt. Help my pain. Help me get over this situation. Guess what, folks? It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about everybody. It's about the kingdom of God. Get a bigger picture of what's going on in the kingdom of God. They stood there in the midst of their miracle and saw the conversion of the jailer. Now, beyond that, the jailer's family. Beyond that, God continued to move. Praise God. God continued to move. The chain of events that set in motion when Paul cast the evil spirit out of the slave girl now resulted in the advancement of God's work in Philippi. And because of Paul's right reaction to the situation that seemed out of control, God began turning everything upright, upright, upright. Things seem like they're out of control and upside down in your life. If we remain true to Him and we keep our attitude right, God will turn everything upright. Everything upright. Hallelujah. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in all thy house. Paul and Silas spoke the word of the Lord to the jailer and all of his household. They baptized him and all his family. Praise God. Praise God. Let's stand today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So much more than just about you and the situations that you're going through. Paul knew that when facing difficult circumstances, often the best response is to continue doing what you know you have been called to do. It is crucial to keep believing what you know is right, even when your mind is confused. Confusing times are no times to abandon the beliefs that have carried you for so long. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Keep believing. Keep going. Praise God. No matter what comes your way, keep standing. You will come out on the other side upright. Hallelujah. Praise God. As we go to prayer today, let's pray for Sister Esther. Of course, we need to continue to pray for the Wades, Sister Ann Armstrong, Marilyn. We need to pray for Steve Adams and Mike Ensley, as well as our upcoming ministers retreat in Anchorage. Those that will be traveling, and that God would keep His hand upon all of the business aspect of it, as well as the services, that God would strengthen and refresh and renew the ministry of the Alaska Yukon District. In Jesus' name, let's pray together. God, we love You, Lord, today. God, we thank You, God, for Your goodness, Your faithfulness to Your people. God, I thank You, Lord Jesus, that You are my healer. You are my strength, God. I thank You, Lord Jesus, that You have proven Yourself time and time again. I pray, God, today for Sister Esther. I pray that You would strengthen her. I pray that You would give her speedy recovery. I pray, Lord Jesus, that You would raise her up, God. In Jesus' name, encourage her today. God, I pray for the Wades, God. I pray that You would be with them, God. Be their comfort and be their strength, God. In Jesus' name, God, be with them today, I pray, God. I pray that You would be with them, God. Heal their bodies, God. Give them strength, Lord, in their bodies.